It's 1:45 and it's time to step into the garden, and delighted to welcome back the team of Charisse and Marley Fulyun, who are with us in studio. Charisse from Cherish Plants. Marley's her dog, who comes along to offer a little bit of extra advice on fertilising the garden every now and then. Charisse, as you will no doubt recall from previous segments, has a master's degree in horticulture and decades of experience in the nursery and botanical garden environments. And it's so lovely to have you back again.
I love being here, Pippa. Thank you so much.
And welcome, Marley, as well. I want to start with two reminders about events. The one, strangely, and just bear with me, is going to be about an event that's not happening. And the other is going to be about something to look forward to next weekend. I'm including the not happening because we had announced earlier in the year that the Takara Rare Plant Fair was coming up this weekend. And I want to say this again in case you missed my previous mention. Unfortunately, that event has had to be postponed. Their gardens were badly hit by the storms a week or two ago. They couldn't in any good faith take people's money to come and walk around. They didn't have time to fix them up in time, etc. So what they've decided to do is postpone the event until October of this year. I know that will be of a huge disappointment to those who look forward to this as one of the gardening highlights of the year. Charisse, have you ever been?
I have, and it's absolutely fabulous. You get plants that you can't find usually, bulbs that are quite rare, and the garden itself is usually stunning, especially the new moss garden.
The moss garden's amazing, yeah.
So, oh, shame. I think it's very brave of them, and let them recover and let's see the garden in spring. We always see it in autumn. Never know.
I think that's a good way of looking at it. So 26 October is the date to pencil in for the new postponed version. I will remind you closer to the time. So the Takara Rare Plant Fair, not happening this weekend. Next, I want to tell you about something that is happening next weekend, and it features our very own Charisse Fulyun, the Living Roots Nursery in Herschel Road in Claremont. Relatively new nursery attached to the U-Turn Help the Homeless program, etc.
Yes.
And they are hosting an autumn garden workshop next Saturday, the 27th of April. You're going to be talking about pruning, I believe.
I am. You know, everyone always wants to know, how much should I prune? When should I prune? What should I prune? And so I give you tips and tricks that are quite general. But the whole homeless U-Turn project is absolutely fabulous, well worth supporting, with decades of success.
Yeah.
And having now opened the Living Roots Nursery for their champions to help recover and get work ready, they are such amazing guys. I get super excited every time I go. They're hungry for knowledge. They're hungry to share what they've learned. And the whole day is going to be brilliant. And the nursery focuses on Indigenous plants and more unusual Indigenous plants. And they're going to have a wide range of Indigenous spring bulbs, which are very difficult to get hold of.
Okay.
So I highly recommend supporting the day. You can buy the tickets on Quicket, I think it is.
Yep.
And it's going to be a fabulous day. So come and meet me there. Come and meet the champs. Come see the nursery. Come buy plants. Drink coffee. Yeah. It's going to be lovely.
Kids activities, a seasonal food market. I know they're going to be bokashi experts on hand. If you want to learn more about perfecting your bokashi composting, you can tap into that. The full list of activities is available on Quicket. Some elements of this are absolutely free to attend. Some of the more specialized talks and workshops, you do pay a small amount. But all the info is there on Quicket. Just search for Autumn Garden Workshop, and it's happening at the Living Roots Nursery in Claremont next weekend, Saturday the 27th of April. All right, well, I guess we better talk about autumn pruning and planting then.
Oh, and I'm not giving anything away. You've got to come find me there. But the thing I do want to say is it's time to do your sweet peas. I always forget sweet peas, and I use Easter weekend to soak them in hot water, which is absolutely essential for any plant belonging to the Fabaceae family, the pea flower family. All of those seeds need a good hot water soak. You boil the kettle almost to full boil, turn it off, wait 5 minutes, and pour that really hot water. I mean, you're going to wonder if I know what I'm talking about, you know?
Oh, but it's expect that to kill the seeds.
Exactly, no. It softens that seed coat, and then I let them soak overnight in this cooling water until it's cooled. I sow the next day. It is wet seed, but it's, you can pat it dry with a paper towel. But Easter was early this year, so I'm in this flurry of not forgetting to sow my sweet peas now. They're such a joyous plant to have. That fragrance is a childhood memory.
Beautiful.
And I only recently learned something which so many people know, but I didn't. The more you pick your sweet pea flowers, the more they flower. I really didn't know that. And it works so well. So again, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be picking all my sweet peas.
So I am laughing. And if my mother is listening, she is laughing. Because Charisse, when I was a student, First time I was ever left behind in charge of the house on my own when my folks took off to go overseas. And one of the last things my mom said as she left was, oh, from time to time, won't you just pick the sweet peas, please? If you see that they're looking a bit thick, just thin them down. And I was being so good the first 3 or 4 days. I trimmed and trimmed and trimmed. And of course, I created a monster that kept on re-sprouting, and more and more and more of them grew. I mean, it was wonderful. The whole house was filled with them. I gave them away to everybody. They smelled amazing, but they just kept on and on coming. And I didn't know what I was doing wrong there. I mean, or doing right, as it were. But it is, I mean, they are so gratifying in how they reward you for the smallest bit of effort, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm in a very, Marina de Garma, I get high wind, poor soil. So I get these tiny little stalks. So I have lots of little vases all over the house full of sweet peas. It's absolutely fabulous. But you would have thought in all the years that I would have known that. So I'm up for any tips and tricks from any pinching. I used to say to my mom-in-law, your daisy bushes look amazing. She goes, yes, I do something called deadheading.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm
okay.
Right. You just got to put in the time and take off those spent flowers. And quite often it's so rejuvenating for lavenders, for daisies, for a whole wide range of plants. You take off the spent flower and it just encourages more. And if you don't put in the time, you get one flush.
Okay. So the more you put in, the more you get out. Literally.
I like it.
All right. Now, questions for Cherise. If you would like to know anything about gardening, but particularly about indigenous plants, please give us a call on 021-446-0567, or you can send a WhatsApp on 072-567-1567. Somebody would like to know about help for their hydrangea. They say the leaves are looking a little bit pale. I've been told that Epsom salts might help. Is that correct?
Yes, if she's talking about a yellowing, Epsom salts definitely helps, and some general fertilizer. They're quite heavy feeders, but I found my hydrangeas were pale because they had powdery mildew on them, and they sort of turned a light grey colour. And I'm not fond of using fungicides and pesticides. I just treated with a bit of a dilute vinegar water with dishwashing liquid in. Okay. It's 5 mils of vinegar and a teaspoon of dishwashing liquid to 2 liters of water. And I wiped down the youngest leaves and I cut off all the oldest leaves and the whole bush rejuvenated.
Okay.
So if it's yellow pale, then it's fertilizer. And if it's gray pale, then cut off and just stop watering the leaves. Rather put the water on the soil and avoid wetting the leaves at this time of year.
Thank you for that, because they don't get time to dry out properly. So
exactly.
You're running the risk of mildewy things creeping in.
It's just nasty for most plants, actually. And always also better to water in the morning if you can, so it has the day to dry out instead of staying wet overnight.
Right,
and the mildew
sense.
Just loves that.
Thank you for that. I believe we have a voice note on an olive tree. Let's take a listen to that.
Hi, Pippa. I have a question regarding gardening. When my dad died, we planted an olive tree with his ashes in his remembrance in Pretoria. And my mother was there a couple of weeks ago, and I asked her to get some cuttings of the olive tree branches so that I can try and propagate them in Cape Town. Which she did, and she brought them back, and I had a look at YouTube to see how to do it. The YouTube video, there were two that I looked. The one recommended putting it into like a greenhouse using a plastic bag. So simply just cutting the branches, dipping them in rooting hormone powder, and then putting them into potting soil, and the one recommended covering it with a plastic bag, then another one said not. So I went with the option of not covering it, and I just wanted to find out, you know, how do I look for signs that the cuttings have actually successfully started growing? Because at the moment the leaves are starting to curl and fall off, so I'm not sure if that's just the natural thing for the leaves to do and it will revive itself. I don't know. I'm a little bit lost. My name's David. Thanks, bye.
What a beautiful thing to do, David. I mean, I've said this before. We, our family, we always plant a rose when someone passes away. But I love the idea of your wanting to cultivate a cutting off that same tree in your garden. So you had a listen to what he's been through and tried. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon that if the cuttings are in a very protected courtyard with absolutely no wind and quite high humidity, well, at least just not hectic wind or exposed, they mustn't be in the sun at this stage either, even though they're sun-loving plants. They're babies, they've been cut off from their mum, so no sun, no high wind. You can leave them uncovered, but you have to check that medium that you've put them in every single day. And then the trick is you can't drown them, as you know, but you can't drought them. So all the leaves dropping concerns me, but if they're out in the sun and the wind, they'd definitely rather cover them. You'll know, you're going to lose half. Don't worry. It happens. It's the take is not good on olive cuttings. But you'll know that you've had success. Even if they've dropped their leaves, don't pull them out until they're completely brown and dead looking. Because as long as they're still green, you'll know you've been successful when they shoot a new little leaf out the top or a new little growth tip. Or if you pull very gently on the cutting, you don't want to keep disturbing it. And it resists being pulled out. You'll know you have success. So top growth means there's been root growth. That's the short answer.
Thank you and good luck, David. I really, really hope for your sake that it works. Good luck. We've got Abdurrahman on the line from Lotus River. Lovely to have a caller on the line. Welcome to the show, Abdurrahman. What's your question?
Thank you. Yeah, and I'm enjoying the conversation. Afternoon to everyone there. So about 2 months ago, I was enjoying a mango. And when coming to the pup, I saw that the seed started rooting and there was a bit of a root out. Got it out, and the plant has taken off nicely. It's about 30 centimeters now. I have it growing inside a little sunroom inside the house. I don't believe that I'll be able to manage and confine it in that area. I'd just like to know if I do this to plant it outside, what's the best solution to have the plant successfully thrive? Because I know our weather and wind on the side is not that great for mangoes.
Yeah, it's a great question. I can't believe you got to grow a mango from a pup. I've never been able to do that. That's fabulous. Everyone does avos and all sorts of things. So I would always keep it in a pot. You might restrict its eventual fruit-bearing capacity, but our soils are quite poor. So it's going to need a lovely, rich soil and more water than usual because it comes from a subtropical area. And try and find a hot spot in your garden when it's older that is as wind-free as possible, even if you erect a little wind shelter around it. But as it gets older, it'll become tougher. It's just babying it when it's little. But it sounds like you've done really well.
Thanks. And when you say older, what's the expectation for older time-wise?
It depends on how quickly it's growing, but I think once it's at your head height or shoulder height, it's time to move it out, at least.
Okay.
Or if it starts to look unhealthy inside, and that's definitely the time to put it out in as big a pot as you can get hold of, so that you have enough root, because there's this root to shoot balance. So you'll almost have bonsaied it if you put it in a small pot. You'll be keeping the entire thing small. Or if you could build a raised wooden container in your garden and backfill that with really good soil and plant it in there, you would have great success.
Thank you very much for the help.
Thank you so much for your call. Good luck. I'm astonished
green
that
fingers.
That can work. Yeah, the opposite of what I have. Abdurrahman, congratulations on getting it this far, and please send us a photo if it continues to thrive and flourish. I think we can squeeze in one last WhatsApp for Cherise. I would love to have snowdrops in my garden. Oh. When do I plant them, and can I get them in bulb or seedling form?
You can get them in little bulb form. You'll be able to get them from most nurseries. The Hedeco supplier most retail nurseries will now have sent snowdrops out, and you need to put them in the ground right now so that you get them flowering. Seeds, they just take so long. Every bulb needs 3 to 4 years from seed to get flowering age. I think buying the little bulbs is a good idea, or putting it in a call out on your WhatsApp community group and saying, doesn't anyone have a few for me to spare, you know, to spare me? I would love to have some. And there is the flower farm, I just can't remember exactly the name of them, but they grow cut flowers behind Peddlers on the Bend in Constantia. Just between Lane Stables and Peddlers on the Bend on the right, there's this beautiful little age-old cut flower farm, and they often sell a few snowdrop bulbs. Gosh, I'm getting tongue twisted. There we go.
Okay, so just behind Peddlers. Thank you very much. I'm sure somebody listening will be able to tell us the name of that institution. Please just pop a WhatsApp through so that we can complete the answer there. Somebody's already asking, is it Jafters?
Yes, thank you.
There we go. Gotta love the Cape Talk audience.
Love them.
Thank you so much. All right, we have to wrap there. Charisse, I hope you're going to get lots of Cape Talk visitors popping by to visit you next weekend at the Lifestyle Nurseries. A reminder that Charisse's workshop on autumn pruning is from 1 to 2 p.m. next Saturday. You'll find the Living Roots Nursery in Herschel Road, Claremont, and check out all the details of this event on Quicket, which is the ticketing platform. I hope you have lots of fun, Charisse.
I'm going to have such fun. I can't wait sharing, and I hope to meet some Cape Talk listeners there.
Go up and say hello. Is Marley going to be there?
Yes,
is Marley allowed to
absolutely.
Go? You can look for the lady with the little dog and you'll know you'll find her. Charisse, we'll talk again soon. Thank you as always.